The choices and the decisions we make are reflecting the outcome that we're seeing in our life. Choices and decisions are showing the outcomes that we're seeing. Now, there's obviously, for those who don't come to Connect, I feel sorry for you, because Connect is one of the best ministries that we've had. Where are all the Connect guys? Amen? At 9 o'clock, I'm like, we need to go home. At 10 o'clock, we're kind of kicking people out. It was just awesome. But it's just an opportunity to just reflect, and just the choices we're making and the decisions we're making is the outcomes that we're seeing. Sometimes we are just plainly out being attacked by the enemy. But choosing to see where God is in the midst of that attack is what our job is to do. Because God says He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you, He'll never abandon you, He'll never let His grip go loose on you. So everything that happens, even those attacks that don't seem out of our control, exactly what our brother and sister have gone through this week, there's always God in the very midst of it. And our decisions are to see and choose to find God in that absolute heartache and stuff. So this morning, I want to speak about choices, and the decisions is producing the outcomes that we're seeing. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. Every time Jesus spoke, it was a teaching. It wasn't just, let's have a general chit-chat about the weather and stuff like that. He was teaching them principles of what they needed to learn about in their world. Matthew 25, 14. And especially when Jesus started the sentence with, for the kingdom of heaven is like. If Jesus started off something like that, let me tell you, He's trying to say, listen, you better get this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling up to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to one and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made five talents more. And likewise the one who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received and went on and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over the few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know, just let me pause there. We're being told that when we get to heaven, if we hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we're all waiting to obtain, that sentence to be repeated back to us when we meet him. And Jesus said that to this man. And he said also, who had received 2 talents, he came and said to him, Lord, you've delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. I want to talk to you this morning that God actually has an expectation upon your life. He does have an expectation of what you can become. Now, this morning, I didn't even need to preach, because what Cannon and Tatenda said, completely the same way. There is a purpose. There's a destiny. God has given you things that he wants you to accomplish. Now, I'm just going to go because of time, but those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, is the ones who chose to do something. But for some reason, we're all living on this earth. We're hoping that when we get to meet God, because every single one of us is going to meet God, either as a father or as a judge, we're going to meet him, and we're all going to hope to receive that sentence, well done, my good and faithful servant. But only out of the 3, 2 heard that sentence. According to Verse 16, it says, according to their ability. He said, the master gave each to them according to his own ability. Often as a pastor, I hear, Pastor Mirella, I tithe and I give my offerings all the time, but I'm still struggling. Well, let me tell you this morning. You're not struggling because you gave 10% to God. You're struggling because you don't know how to manage the 90% you still have. Can I hear an amen? It's not about the 10% you gave to God. It's the fact that you don't know how to manage the 90% that God kept and let you to keep. Everything about the scripture is about increase, multiply, extend, and giving you and I the exceedingly abundant. The word of God is not about how to just see about God. It's about, I want to bless you. I want to take you. I want to extend you. I want you to take you. I want to enlarge you. I want to prosper you. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be, that's about you. Everything he says, it's about you increasing and being blessed. And we're all waiting and expecting God to move in the air. God, multiply. God, increase me. God, extend me. God, given me the exceedingly abundantly. But I ask you this morning, Jesus could be saying, I can, but I won't. Because what you're showing me is that you can't handle what I've currently given you. Because you have according to your ability. Now, we love to sing that scripture that says that God will not give us more than we can handle. But God knows what we can handle. You're not cheating God. You're cheating yourself from what God actually wants to give you. The reason you're not seeing more of God is because you actually can't handle any more of God. The parable just before this one that Jesus gave his disciples, just before this one, he gave the parable of the 10 virgins, the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And then he chose to give this parable, one after the other. He's saying to the disciples, listen, mankind is going to make choices and decisions. There's going to be wise people in this world and there's going to be those who are going to continually make excuses. But you're so seriously always going to see the outcome of it. Jesus is telling the boys, the truth is, this is all about you. You have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. And from that choice and that decision, you will see the outcome. Jesus is showing two kinds of people. People that are prepared to stand and get ready to meet the future. And there's other people that are just getting what they've deserved because that's all they can handle. Each single one of us has the same equal opportunity, but we have different outcomes because of the choices that we make. Each single one of us has been presented with the same. The minute you gave, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your upbringing. It doesn't matter who raised you, how you were raised. The minute you gave your life to Christ, everyone became on the same page. Because we all serve the same master. We all serve the same living king. We all serve the same faithful God. We all. So he says, your whole past, how you came into this world, how you met me, that's all gone. Now we all stand on the same opportunities. Galatians 6:7 says this, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. And the very next verse says, those who live to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from its sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. See, the only thing the enemy is going to do is to wear you down so you give up. People right now have not come to church this morning because of the weather that was predicted. Now, who noticed that God held the weather back as people started to walk into church? But you know, we're sitting at home with God. God, bless my house, bless my children. And we're like, oh, but it's raining this Sunday. I don't want to come out in the rain. We're only getting what we can cope with. Can someone say amen? I know this is not probably the greatest message, but sometimes I got to say what it is. Galatians 6:8 from the Message Bible says, do not be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a man plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weed. All he will have to show for his life is weed. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit go to the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. It's been in the makeup of the world's creation. From the very first part of where God spoke in Genesis, it was all about, listen, I plant, you reap. You plant, you reap. A harvest is something that is fully grown, that has reached its maturity. But a harvest is a process. It's not about laying hands on something and expecting it to be the next day. It's about sowing constantly, going back. But somehow we have become a world that we want the harvest, but we don't want to plow. We're becoming a people and a God, I want the increasingly abundantly, but I really haven't got time to make it to church every single Sunday. I really don't have the opportunity to sit with you and learn how to pray this year. We seem to be living in a world that we've learned how to buy before we can even work out if we can afford it. I'm saying this to the young people. We're sleeping with people before we're ready to see if we can put a ring on it. Are you here this morning, church? And we've adapted things from the world and we've allowed it to come through. I want to read to you. This man's name is Glenn Wolf, and he was in the Guinness Book of Records. Glenn Wolf died alone in Los Angeles at the age of 88. Completely alone. No one came to claim his body, and the city had to pay for him to be buried in an unmarked grave. But the reason that Glenn was in the world's Guinness Book of Records is that he was the man most married, with 29 marriages. Which means 29 times he said, and he was asked this question, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, forsaking all others? Do you pledge yourself to her only as long as you both shall? 29 times he was asked that question. 29 times Glenn Wolf said, I do. But he never quite actually followed through. He left behind several children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and a number of living ex-wives and innumerable ex-mother-in-laws, but he still died alone. I ask you, how do we get to that place? How do we get to that kind of road? How do we become what we're becoming? How are we seeing what we're seeing unfold? I want to tell you this morning, church, you were given a gift from the heavens this morning, and it's called life. Use it to its glory for God. When we woke up this morning, there was nothing the enemy could do about it, except that God spoke from heavens another day for her. A young lady was sitting in our church just last Sunday, and she was here and she's on a journey with God. But 4 days after she left this, her mother-in-law had her children in her car and was in a major car accident and didn't know if her children had survived, her two little kids had survived. You don't know what happens from day to day, but we're holding on to that line, good and faithful servant. But God is saying, I'm giving you stuff. See, two things that master did, what he did to those people, he actually said, I'm going to give you something. See, God has left us opportunities to do something. He said, I've given you an entire book that is indescribably the way I've spoken it out into mankind about how I want to bless you, how I want to increase you, how I want to do things from my position. You have to come and make decisions and make choices. Like I said this morning, so many people made a choice not to come. So many people make a choice. Oh, Pastor Morella, I slept in this morning. No, you made a choice. You made a choice. No, I didn't. I just slept through that. No, you made a choice. See, one of the things I've often heard growing up is they've come to my dad, my senior pastor, and they said, I just want my children to be like yours. What they don't know is that my father used to say, you can do whatever you want on Saturday night, but at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, you are getting out of your bed and you are coming to church. Regardless of what you choose to do, you are going to be out and going to church. See, that's why when I'm now 40 plus, I don't have to worry about an alarm because I have been pushed into a place where I know where Sundays is spent. I didn't have options. See, when I was a little girl, I remember people having their birthday parties on Sunday and people had sports events. There was a point where I'd always, Mom, can we go? Can I go? This is my best friend. It's her birthday. It's on Sunday. Then I got to a point where in my own age where if that was invited on a Sunday, I wouldn't even go ask Mom. I'd be like, don't worry, I'm not coming. It's a Sunday. Because what happens is there's an establishment in my spirit right now that I've got an opportunity to choose what I do with my Sunday. God said to me, please, if you give me the first of your week, if you give me the first of your time, if you just give me that little bit of a portion, I'm going to give you 6 days. I will bless the income of those days. I will bless the prosperity of those days. I will bless the fruit of those days. But I ask you to give me the first. Establish certain things. So we turn around and we go, I wish. But there was things that have been established. I want to talk to two people that were born on the exact same day. And in 1903, there was a famous Christian man called Jonathan Edwards. This man was completely devoted to Jesus. When he got married, he talks about how he prayed to the Lord about bringing him a wife that would accompany him with the desires that God had given him as a young follower of Christ. And when he got married, him and his wife made decisions together to be committed to putting God first. No matter what happened, no matter what price, no matter, it was about as together, as husband and wife, they would put God first. Deciding to take what was in them and plant them into other people, and they chose to become missionaries. But even with those that are not overseas, they began to plant with the people in their community. With Jonathan Edwards' family, this is the description of his family that is written in the history books. Jonathan's family, out of them came 60 doctors, 100 professors, 14 presidents of university, three mayors of large cities, 60 judges, 100 lawyers, 60 authors of books, 3 state governors, a controller of the US Treasury, a vice president of America, 300 pastors and missionaries. All from one couple. On that same day, on that very same day, in the exact same city, in the exact same hospital, was a man called Max Duke. Exact same outcome. But he got married, but neither him or his wife lived the principles of what God had called them to do. And from their sowing into the lives of other families, this is what came from his life. 100 became alcoholics, 310 professional, what is that, bludgers? Okay, yeah. 440 wrecked their lives with wild living. 130 went to jail. 7 went for murder. 60 became habitual thieves. 20 became tradesmen, 10 of whom learned their trade in jail. 190 of them became prostitutes. Cost the state of New York $1.5 million. Two people born at exactly the same time, at exactly the same chance, at exactly the same hospital, at exactly the same time. Choices, decisions you make produce the outcome. Let's go back to the story where Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. They all had the same master. He was the master of all three of them. And he gave them all something to see what they would do with what they were given. So 5 he gave to one, 2 he gave to another, and 1. It wasn't about how much he gave. It was about, I'm giving you something. What will you choose to do with it? Lord, I knew you were a hard master, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid my talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours. This man made a judgment about his master. You're just too hard. Trying to make excuses for his laziness. And the minute that he said those words, Jesus called him for what he was. That was an excuse to be lazy. That was an excuse to be lazy, because it's so much easier just to dig your talent in the ground. But those men who invested, they would have had to go meet with people. They would have had to go spend time with people. They would have had to go and do things that was taking away from their normal time. Who knows that serving in the ministry takes away from your normal to normal day life? Sowing to someone's life, spending some time with a single mother, spending some time with some children, spending some time with your neighbor, that's costing you something out of your own personal life. But you've got a choice. I can take the one thing that God gave me and go, it's just too hard. Or I can go and invest, because I don't have to see the fruit of it right here, but I know that somewhere I'm going to see a harvest, a fully mature, grown harvest. And then he said this to the master, reaping where you have not sown, gathered where you have not scattered seed. Now remember, this is Jesus speaking. And he was saying, this is what I want you to understand. This is the kingdom of heaven. So he said, for the kingdom of heaven is like this. So you've got to understand this, boys. This is something that exactly that comes out of heaven. And when this man said, reap you have not sown, master, and you have gathered and gather where you have not. So basically, he's saying, you're expecting an expectation on me that's way too much. You didn't sow, so why should I expect something? But see, he missed the whole point of who his master really was. And that's when the master said, you should know that I will reap where I have not sown, and I will gather where I have not scattered. But you didn't even try to see what I am capable of doing. You don't know your master, is basically what he's saying. You have no clue. I wanted you to invest in something you had no understanding what was going to come from that investment. But you didn't even try. You didn't even set a standard for yourself. Mark 4:23 says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear it. Touch your side of the head and make sure you've all got ears. And listen to this. Consider carefully what you hear. He continued, Jesus said, with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. I've spoken to you. God wants to bless you. God wants to increase you. God wants to multiply you. God wants you to be fruitful and take dominion. But he said, with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And he doesn't finish there. And even more. Living Bible says, if you have ears, listen and be sure to put it into practice what you're about to hear. The more you do this, the more you will understand what I tell you. It will be measured to you and even more. The New King James says this, more shall be given to you. The word more shall be given is translated in the Strong's, is a declaration to proceed over you further increase. Let me say that again. The more shall be given, he says, with the measure you'll be using, it will be, and more shall be given. That is a declaration to proceed over you further increase. So God is expecting us to be productive because what he is declaring to you is to proceed over you further increase. So he's saying whatever they're doing right now, I declare over their life to be more than what they're expecting in return. God is saying, I don't want you to work hard. So this morning, I want to stop. What is it that you're giving to God and saying, God, it's just too much. It's just too hard. I cannot do it. Because I ask you to pause right there. Because at the measure you're doing it. So maybe you're serving, maybe you're doing something, but it's coming out with a lot of complaints. And all you see is the price tag. It's costing me this. It's costing me. I just haven't got the energy to do it. Then let me be so brutally honest. Then check the rest of your prayer life because what you're speaking out, God is honoring. God is expecting us to be productive. Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to finish with this. Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, and we all just worked out that we do have ears, you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully his commandments, which I have commanded you today, that the Lord God will set you high above all nations of earth. This means that God is about to give you favor in high positions. That's what that says. This is that God is going to give you favor with people in high positions and give you favor in high position. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and will overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. He didn't say because you got to church every single Sunday. He didn't get it. He just said because you obeyed the call that I put on your life. Because you chose to make a decision to serve me, to give to me, to honor me, and to see it. And therefore you are seeing now. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. God says, pick wherever you want to go because I'm going to bless it. Pick it. Do you want to go in the city? I'm going to bless it. Want to go in the country? I'm going to bless it. You know what that says? If you got work in the city, I'm going to bless the city that you're going to go work in. Are you going to bless in the country? I'm going to bless. Wherever you put your feet, I will bless it. He's saying, go work wherever you want. I will bless where you put your feet. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground and increase of your herd and increase of your cattle and your offsprings of your flock. That is where the physical prosperity of our finances comes into play. Blessed shall you be your baskets of your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you to be defeated before your face. God's saying, I don't want you to just continually see the enemy. I want you to see the enemy continually defeated in your face so that you do exactly what to tend to and give God all the glory and say, I saw the enemy. I saw the enemy physically fight me. I saw him physically take my fight. I saw him physically bring his sickness into my family. But I saw God defeat him physically before my face. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you, but to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and they will flee in seven different directions. God says, don't mess with my children. You come at there with her with one, I'm telling you, you're going to be split into seven pieces. The Lord, listen, will command the blessing. You know that God's words aren't light. So when God says the Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouse and in all to which you set your hand, he will bless you in the land which the Lord God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people of him, just as he sworn to you. If you keep his commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by my name, the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. God's covering every single thing you have got coming your way. The Lord will open to you his good treasure. His good treasure. Do you know where his good treasure is? It's in heaven. And when he says he's going to open that towards you to give you rain on your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands, you shall lend to many but shall not borrow. Who's ready in 2016 to start declaring paid off houses? Who's declaring in 2016 that I no longer rent but I purchase and as a God's gift? Where does that faith come in? I've been serving my God. I'm getting a harvest in this area. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only. You're not going to fight to get at the top. You're going to be at the above only and not beneath. If you heed to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Choices. God is very, very, very clear on where he stands with you. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you every area of your life. He wants to bless you. There's a commandment. There's a call on your life. There's a gift. There's a talent that God is giving to you. I'm covering everything. I'm setting you up for great success with great favor. It doesn't matter how many times you've messed up, you've failed, you've fallen short of what you think, how many trials you've had to overcome. You just have to say, I get what I've done, where I've been, what I've made decisions in the past, but as of today, Deuteronomy 28, that's mine. I claim that to be mine. Can someone say amen? That's mine. Deuteronomy 28, that's mine. And where I'm not seeing it, that's where God is still working on me. God is still choosing. That's the area that I'm plowing. Where I've seen a harvest, I've seen a level of growth, I've seen a change, I've seen a shift. But where I have not seen that abundant blessing, commanded blessing to flow, that's where I'm still plowing. But see, while I'm plowing, I'm preparing for the harvest. But if you're standing back and go, God, you're just a hard God. It's all Christianity is all about do's and don'ts. Christianity is about serving the God who says, I declare Deuteronomy over 28 over you. But there are choices that you will need to make. Never at one point is God going to take away the choice, your choice. We don't walk by sight or by strength. We walk by the Spirit that ministers the supernatural dominion of our God in our life.